about here today. I'll be taking your phone calls over the next 2 hours. 1-800-878-PLAY. Bunch of other numbers on the front page as well. We're going to have Mike Sempervivi here on the line as always. And what do we have to talk about today? The WWE Beast in the East show has wrapped up. Actually, a lot of stuff coming up from Japan. We've got WWE Beast in the East with the match of the century, Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston. We have got the New Japan Dominion show, which apparently was a fantastic show. We'll be talking to Mike Sempervivi about that. Heard rave reviews about the final two matches on the show. This, of course, leading into the G1 tournament. WWE's got a Battleground pay-per-view coming up here in the next couple of weeks. We can talk about that. And, of course, Raw is tomorrow night. Next week, I will be in Las Vegas for UFC Fight Week. And that includes UFC 189, Conor McGregor versus Chad Mendez for the interim UFC 145-pound title. We can talk about that here on the program today. Plus, of course, your phone calls, your emails, all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and so much more. Two full hours today. Don't forget, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern as well. So no shortage of free content here on Sports Byline USA. We're going to be talking about all of the news here on the show. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-PLAY. We've got a number of other phone numbers as well, which I'm going to throw out on the front page. Well, they're on the front page right now, but I'll throw them out one time at the beginning of the top in the second hour. And we'll get those for you as well and start taking your phone calls here in a bit. So stand by, everybody. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. 2 hours here today, day after the 4th of July. Hopefully, Mike, you had a good July 4th. Did you blow stuff up with the youngster?
I did. We watched things blow up because that's what we like to do. Up into the sky, so lots of fireworks and lots of food and then a couple of shows with Dave and so I believe it was a pretty full weekend. WWE and New Japan, especially, just really a fine way to spend the 4th.
There's very hot here. It's baking here in Seattle. Probably hot elsewhere. I know that it was raining over large parts of the East Coast for the 4th of July. It was not here. It has been in the 90s now for weeks. I guess they did some sort of poll, and 90% of Seattleites are listed as sick of it in terms of this heat. So anyway, they didn't want anyone blowing up anything. And so, you know, the cops are everywhere confiscating these fireworks and everything. But of course, everyone's blown up fireworks anyway, so I come home and, like, across the street and up the hill, these people are just blowing up everything in sight. And sure enough, last night, I'm in the middle of watching the WWE show from Japan, and there goes that ambulance up the hill. I don't know what happened, but something went wrong with something. Everybody, got to be careful with these explosives, especially when there's been no water for weeks now. And people blowing stuff. There are fires everywhere around here. There's this huge fire in BC that apparently you can see from satellites now. It's crazy, Mike, this 4th of July holiday.
Say, I think those would be two separate issues, though, as far as the ambulance going there for the person that blew their hand off in comparison to the firework going off, landing somewhere, and then starting a forest fire because of the dry conditions.
Hey, there was a house, a firecracker or something landed on some dude's roof, and up it went. It's just crazy. But hey, we got pro wrestling to talk about, as well as taking your phone calls. Here's the deal. We are going to take your calls. 1-800-878-PLAY is the phone number. That is 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. We'll be taking those throughout the show today. So call and hang out till we get to you. And if you would like to use the other numbers, I have four numbers here as well. West of the Rockies. West of the Rockies. If you're in the dry area, 425-488-0525. If you're in the wet area, east of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. If you're in parts unknown, which apparently is San Antonio, Texas, that's 425-398-7353. And if you're a first-time caller, you've never called this program before, 425-398-7289. All of these numbers are available.
Have sexual overtones to them.
That too. Front page of WrestlingObserver.com, everybody. So head up there and check that out. Got to talk this this Beast in the East show. I don't want to say I told you so, everybody, but I told you that Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston would be the best match of all time. Was I wrong? That was great. It's everything I expected and more.
The only way you were wrong, not even 2 minutes and 38 seconds.
Hey.
The only reason that you would be wrong in that is that Brock did not get back into the ring and then F5 all three men, or at the very least Kofi and Xavier at the same time. I think that's the only icing you could have put on that cake. Although the New Day has been some of the only ones that have been tied to the Authority. So you could always have the New Day, that happening to them on a Raw whenever Brock comes back, because obviously Jamie Noble is not taking any F5s, at least I would hope not. So if you're going to do the double spot, why not have it be on Raw with Xavier and Kofi?
Well, it can be done. Should be done tomorrow, actually. Maybe they can come in and be angry, and then he gets his big... I mean, he F5'd everybody. He German, poor Kofi, half to death, just destroyed him. It was everything that I wanted and more. I loved it. And then we had the Finn Balor match with Kevin Owens, which was everything that I expected. It was a very, very good match. Thank God Finn Balor won the title there in Japan. I had a conniption fit on Friday thinking about the possibility that he may not win there after all of the trouble they went to doing all those video packages for him. But he won, and it was very, very good. Here's what I'm hoping from that show, Mike. I am hoping that enough people watch this show on the WWE Network, both live and later, and still throughout this weekend, that the tradition of throwing streamers into the ring in championship matches gets brought here to this country. Maybe not like the women's title or anything like that, but at least like the WWE championship matches. I think that would be great.
I think it would. No, you know, I can see them doing it maybe just for Finn Balor and possibly somebody after that. But I could see that being something that they would probably want to keep to one gimmick. I mean, maybe way later on down the line, I could see it happening, you know, for they would use it for different reasons. But I have a feeling if it wouldn't be for him and if he kind of fades out, they could start using it for somebody else. I cannot see them doing that on a regular basis, even if it's their own people doing it. You're still opening yourself up to having something thrown in the ring while there's a distraction going on. I can actually kind of see why they don't do it, although the aesthetics of it, like it was for on NXT with Devitt, are absolutely fantastic.
I think they showed about four or five replays of just streamers being thrown in the ring for the ring introduction. So clearly somebody thought it was pretty cool. I don't know if that means anything or not, but there is that. And finally, well, the main event. It's not like I didn't say going in that headlining with the John Cena match would be a disaster. I wouldn't call it a disaster, but...
anticlimactic.
35 minutes that whole presentation took? Am I wrong? 35 minutes?
It may have been that. That was 25. I guess that was just the match, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had the ring intros and everything. 35 minutes, everybody. If you've not seen it yet, let me give you a piece of advice. You only need to devote an hour and a half to this, because the main event of John Cena and Dolph Ziggler against Wade Barrett and Kane, we had an excellent show headlined by a house show match that went forever and ended when John Cena just got in the ring, did all of his moves, and won. Which, by the way, led to little Asian ladies crying, weeping that the babyfaces had won, which almost made it worthwhile, but not quite. But the real thing to talk about on this show, because I see that there has been a great deal of controversy because of Dave's apparent 10-minute burial of Michael Cole. Is that correct, Mike?
I don't think it was a 10-minute burial, but I know people were very upset with it because people were very happy with the performance that Cole had here. So,
okay, I got two things to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
One, this won't take 10 minutes. I'm just going to make it quick. I thought that Michael Cole did much better than he normally does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, he really didn't do that good, okay? When you're comparing him to Raw, a mediocre performance is going to have people, their minds will be blown. I think that's what it was. There was no point in this show where I was blown away by Michael Cole, but he was much, much better.
And they at least tried.
Sure.
There were facts, although the facts may have been wrong. Dave pointed that out, that people thought he was too critical of that and saying, at least he's trying to bring up facts, but hey, what are you going to do?
There is one thing that I've got to agree very much with Dave on, and I know some people are going to be upset to hear this, but I agree wholeheartedly about how stupid it was for Michael Cole to say that Sumo Hall was the biggest indoor arena in Japan. I mean, come on! That is a level of lying that even... I don't even think Hulk Hogan could say that with a straight face. Like, you don't have to know one single thing. I mean, if you've seen one... If you know the slightest... Like, Vinny, for example. Vinny would scoff at the idea that they said that Sumo Hall was the biggest indoor building in Tokyo. There is a Tokyo Dome! You have to know almost nothing about wrestling to be aware of that. All I will say about
music,
this,
considering how many albums come from the Budokan.
All I will say about this is sometimes it's best to just not say anything. Like, you may as well say it's sold out if it's not, because that's a typical wrestling lie. And, I mean, who cares? Maybe sell out is a funny word. You know what I mean? But that was such a whopper that I can see Dave losing his mind over that one. But overall, I did think that Cole did better. We can talk about this more after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Going to go to the phones here in a while, but Mike, as you are well aware, I am the king of analogies, and I got a good one for you.
Well, yeah, what you got?
What grade is your youngster in?
He will be going into the second grade.
Could he name the eight planets?
Yes, he can.
He can?
Yes.
I should get him. Maybe I should get him on the air and actually say this and just see how he would respond. Can you imagine if you were watching a WWE show with him? That caller was about to answer my analogy question. Can you imagine if you were watching a WWE show with him and Michael Cole said, "We are broadcasting live here from the Earth, the largest planet in the solar system"? What would your son say?
He'd probably look at me and then ask. I don't know if he would know the sizes of them as far as that.
You don't know. You don't know if he'd know that Jupiter was by far the biggest planet in the solar system.
I guess he probably would, since he doesn't know the solar system. He at least knows that it goes in an order out until Pluto.
That's right.
So yeah, he probably would know that. Yeah.
Anyone with a cursory knowledge of the solar system would be well aware that Earth is not the biggest planet in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
So to call Sumo Hall the biggest indoor arena in Japan, that is worthy of a 10-minute rant. I'm not going to go on one, I'm just saying.
Especially if you're Dave here. And look, and hey, Cole was better. The aesthetics of the show, I thought, were fantastic. Especially, you know, WWE uses lighting, whereas a lot of the Japanese promotions leave the crowd dark. But it was lit up, and the crowd reacted like an American crowd, and I thought the aesthetics of the show were great. I thought Michael Cole and Byron Saxton did do a better job than they usually do, but I don't fault Dave and anybody else out there who, you know, it's not picking nits here. I mean, there were a couple of large mistakes. And again, just because it seemed to be better and there wasn't Vince yelling in his ear and there wasn't JBL and all of that sort of stuff, where he's more of a ringleader, you know, some of the facts were still wrong. And it does not surprise me that anybody, you know, would point that out, especially because the Tokyo Dome and you know, the Budokan, which, again, how many albums have been recorded in the Budokan? So people would probably know that place more than they know Sumo Hall, much less the Tokyo Dome. So I thought it was silly. I thought when you show the arena and you show how small it is, as great as those aesthetics are, why would you keep saying that when it just, you know, just from being alive for long enough, you know, there would be buildings in a major city like Japan that would be bigger than Sumo Hall. I mean, you know, your eyes tell you that by watching it.
I was at least glad that Michael Cole recognized the Sunday Bloody Sunday DDT. Although he didn't know what it was called. He's done for!
Well, it was like the line about Bull, what did he say? Bull Nakona. It's somebody probably wrote some of this stuff down for him, but at least somebody was trying. The fact checker obviously didn't get it all, but at least whether he did it or somebody else did it, and I get the feeling with, you know, some of the stuff like that, he was just reading off a paper that he didn't do. And I'm not blaming him for that, too. Again, I don't know what goes into any of that stuff, and I don't care. The matches were good, so I could get past the announcing, because I think, like a lot of people, you just end up tuning it out most of the time anyway.
It is true. And at the end of the day, it was a good show, aside from the house show main event. I very much enjoyed it. The NXT match is great. The Jericho versus Neville match is really good. The women's match I could do without, but I've already retired from covering Nikki Bella until she loses the belt. And, yeah.
Road to 300, brother.
Oh, man. That almost set me off, but I moved on past it. Let's take this call. Parts Unknown Line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It is the executive director of events for WrestlingObserver.com, and I'm a little upset right now. And you want to know why I'm a little upset right now, Brian?
Do you ever call when you're not upset?
All the time, when I talk about women's wrestling.
Okay.
And I think we know with the Parts Unknown Line, San Antonio's in Parts Unknown.
This is now the end of San Antonio Line, but the reason I am upset, Brian, is because at the beginning of this show, you came out and you specifically said that you will be in Vegas next week for UFC 189, but you conveniently left out that you will also be there for the F4W / Wrestling Observer 9th Annual Vegas Convention. And you could help a little with the promotion. You know, you are like one of the main guys.
The U's are in the title, too, by the way.
Sure. Yeah. I thought it went without saying that it was our annual convention.
No, you have to publicize it, Brian, and also help publicize it for people to want to come next year and so forth.
Does anybody listen to Ed's calls and decide that they've got to go to this convention? That I got to know. Dad, don't drive people away from the convention with your calls. Make them want to go.
Well, if it's last call, we're a week away. If anyone would like any information on where we will be, eating steak, doing karaoke, playing miniature golf.
All at the same time, actually. It's a crazy steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah. So you can email me at f4wfan@hotmail.com, and I will answer any questions if there are anybody who's thinking about going very last minute. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed. Ed is very clever in the sense that he makes sure that he gets me as angry as possible, and then he throws out his f4wfan@hotmail.com email address. And then I feel bad for yelling at him. Much like I feel bad for yelling at this caller, Ryan in Cumberland, you're on the air. What's going on?
My question is about Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt. Have you heard anything about Bray Wyatt maybe like doing like the Kevin Sullivan gimmick in Florida where he like brainwashes Dean Ambrose and then we see them maybe turn face down the line to do battle against the Authority? Maybe like say Bray Wyatt against Triple H at WrestleMania 32?
What do you think about that idea, Mike?
I don't know if that's, I don't know, as far as being built up to anything special at WrestleMania, I think it wouldn't be enough time to do it. I think if you're going to do an angle like that, I think you get Ambrose all into it for a long time. That's an angle that you probably have to invest in. And you know, Bray Wyatt, I don't think is damaged goods to the point where if he goes away for a while and he comes back and he really does, you do a new spin on that old mystical thing. Of Kevin Sullivan, that I think it could be done, but I think you'd have to invest a lot into it, and I don't know if Dean Ambrose is even that guy, or if you just have Bray Wyatt kind of, you build up to somebody he tries to get and then isn't able to, but most of the guys he has with him, to me, I don't think you can have a flock. Bray Wyatt's got to be the leader of the thing. I don't think you need, you know, somebody is with the strength of the personality of Ambrose. I think he needs to go after those guys, but you know, to me, I don't know.
Ryan, are you aware that Bray Wyatt has already done the brainwashing gimmick? He did it with Daniel Bryan last year, and it flopped.
Actually, he never really. Daniel Bryan tricked Bray Wyatt into thinking that he was brainwashed.
Well, that's because the storyline sucked. Originally,
I cut that completely out of my brain. Yes. Jesus, yeah.
Originally, he was going to be brainwashed all the way through WrestleMania, but it flopped, so they axed the angle.
He gets Bo Rotundo in. He gets Bo Dallas in there and then is really all over him about the fact that the dad liked him best, and he's going to make him pay for that after he puts him under his spell.
All right, Ryan. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. I hope you had a good 4th of July out there in Cumberland, Maryland. Let's go to Tan the Man. Tan, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian.
Yes, Tan.
My second time talking to you 2 weeks in a row.
It's crazy.
I know. Hey, I'll try my best to get three comments in if possible, or three questions, depending on how you take it. I want to first talk about the Beast from the East show that was from Tokyo, Japan, obviously. Was there any particular reason why they had the matches in the order they did? Because, I mean, I understand Brock and Kofi, that was naturally going to be a three-minute squash match, as it was. But, I mean, even the NXT title match, even if they didn't want to give it top billing, I would have thought, you know, it would have gotten a little bit higher on the card. I would have probably put the Divas match, sort of, you know, to open the show. But I just didn't like that tag match to be the main event.
Well, the idea is that John Cena is the biggest star. And so because John Cena is the biggest star, he's got to headline the show. That is the entire reason behind the match order being the way it was. I disagreed with it, but that's why they did it.
I could understand that, but it's like the other three guys that he was in the match with. I mean, John Cena, I guess, was just holding the show all by himself, because who was going to get excited about Barrett, Ziggler, and Kane?
Well, not me.
Exactly. Well, I guess I'll move on to the second thing. This is something I've always wanted to ask someone, either on a wrestling show, a podcast, or a dirt sheet, if you will.
Oh, good.
Why do you feel, over the years, in recent years, we've seen the unification of the women's Divas titles? We've seen both the Raw, SmackDown brand tag titles unified. And then within the last couple of years, we've seen both world titles unified. But yet we still have these two mid-card titles. And then nowhere at all has there even been a hint of there being any kind of unification. And just what I see right now is, if a guy goes after the IC title, as an example, and he loses, he doesn't automatically goes after the United States title. You have Rusev. Before he had his foot injury, he was scheduled to go for the IC title after he had a couple of attempts to get his United States title back. But all he did now was just jump over to the Intercontinental title. Why can't it just be? Because there's not enough challengers.
Well, Tan, hold on one sec. Let me jump in here, because we're almost at a break. I want to thank you very much for the call. They have discussed many times the idea of actually unifying these titles. And every time they start talking about it, they stop talking about it shortly thereafter. It's not like it's never been discussed. I don't know why they haven't pulled the trigger. There's absolutely no reason why you need both of those. They have done hits before on television, actually. In fact, we can talk about a couple of those after the break, but I don't know. Stand by. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your call today, we got a lot of news to get into as well. In fact, this fella here on Twitter, Jacob here, anything about if and when and how Cody and Dustin are going to return? Hopefully no more Stardust. Well, funny you should ask, both Cody and his wife Eden are going to be at Raw tomorrow. I don't know if Cody's going to be on television, but I believe Eden will be doing ring announcing. And Cody and Dustin may be there to film stuff for the Dusty Rhodes documentary, which is going on the air after Raw ends. They're doing a one-hour American Dream documentary on the WWE Network. So make sure you check that out. Also, I may not have been paying attention to Ryan. I don't know how that happened, but I believe, did he suggest a Triple H versus Wyatt match at WrestleMania?
I don't know. I was just ramblingly responding to him. But
Hunter has a match at Mania, and it's not Bray Wyatt.
I thought it was the lead-up to Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, which is why I wouldn't think there would be enough time even if you did it.
That's what I thought, too, but I got a message here in a tweet wondering what he's talking about. Wyatt versus Hunter, apparently he'd mentioned at some point. Maybe he screwed something up. I'm not entirely sure. But no, you are not going to see Triple H facing Bray Wyatt at this year's WrestleMania event. Kane may or may not be on the show tomorrow. It's funny, WWE.com put up a gallery of Kane's Hawaiian vacation. Did you see this, Mike?
Yes, I did.
It's quite great. But then, next thing you know, I'm watching him wrestle in Japan. What? Is he in Japan or is he in Hawaii?
It was a stopover on the way, and then
he went to Hawaii, and then Japan, and then back to Hawaii.
And then he gets to chill there. I guess if he's on Raw, we wonder exactly how long this vacation really was and whether it actually happened or not. I'm getting the feeling that it's just going to be superimposed pictures, kind of like that they had up on the website. I'm sure
those
weren't
superimposed, Mike. Come on. He was really there in a suit on a surfboard.
Hey, Kane, nice hat.
Maybe it was Kane's doppelganger in Japan. I should have asked Ryan. Fortunately, he's not allowed to call anymore today.
Who would be Kane's doppelganger in Japan?
No, it'd be his doppelganger. It's not it's just his doppelganger.
That would be like, okay, Tenryu or something like that, doubling as Kane.
Sure, Rollins.
By the way, did you see the fans dressed up as American superstars, the guy who was Daniel Bryan?
I did not see that guy.
I will retweet that picture out there, but he was fantastic. Plenty of people. Did you see the one that was dressed as Simon Gotch?
I did see that one. That was a good one.
They were into this show, and they were into everything American about that show.
They loved John Cena, and then they loved chanting that he sucked. just like America. Seth Rollins.
This is awesome.
Seth Rollins will be the guest on Tough Enough this week. Trying desperately to bring the rating up.
That'll get asses in the seats.
Yeah, nothing against Seth Rollins, but I had my fill of Tough Enough after last week's alligator gimmick, and I don't think I'm going back. But we'll
tease
see.
Tease Daniel Bryan and Paige are going to kill everybody, and I'd be cool with it.
I do think that the best thing on the show is Daniel Bryan and Paige, but the reality show aspect of it is so terrible. Which, by the way, speaking of, Total Divas returns on Tuesday, for those of you that can't get enough Total Divas, it is now on Tuesday on E! So now you can watch Tough Enough and Total Divas. I don't know what could possibly be better. But that double whammy is coming up this Tuesday, everybody. And we'll have more news here throughout the day. But let's go to the East of the Rockies line, the wet line. You're on the air.
How's it going, guys? This is Ken from Baton Rouge.
Another Tan?
Ken.
Oh, yes. Hi, Ken. I know who you are. What's happening?
I would hope so. Not too much. Just had a couple questions for you.
Yes.
So I was wondering, they've mentioned that Brock had some Beast from the East, or I'm sorry, Suplex City shirts made for Australia and London. Do you think those will be the next network specials?
It is possible, but I'm not sure. Essentially what happened was they did this special in Japan has been planned for a long time, and Brock wanted to go over there, and so they set it up so that he could go over and he did the quick match here on the show against Kofi. And I don't think, given the amount of money that they are paying Brock Lesnar, that he's going to be doing any more of these network specials. So I think my guess would be that they're just making Suplex City shirts for all of the major arenas that they're going to be doing. And, I mean, even if Brock doesn't come to your town, if you're a fan of Brock Lesnar, you're still going to buy a Suplex City shirt with Bothell Washington written on it. So I wouldn't read too much into that, but I think they're just making shirts.
Okay. And second topic, Brian, what's the deal with Bob Ryder?
What's the deal with him?
Yeah.
In what sense?
The man is insane.
The man is an employee. And in fact, I mentioned earlier in the show, and I will say it again, that sometimes it's better to not say anything than to say something that you may look stupid for saying at a future time. And that is the extent of my comments about Bob Ryder.
Well, he's taken the opposite of your advice.
I know. I have no idea why. I have learned that sometimes the best thing you can do is just not say anything.
I can admire that.
So yeah, those are my thoughts.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Ken. Thanks so much for the call. Thanks for all the work you do.
Sage advice for many, not just Bob Ryder.
Ken is a sage. Just want to throw that out there. I've just gotten word, by the way, from someone here that the shirts... Okay, we've got essentially the Brock shirts, as I noted, are made for every major city. And they've already got LA shirts, but they're not going to LA until later this month. And Brock is not on the show. So essentially, if you live in a major city, you're going to get a Suplex City shirt. That does not mean that Brock is coming to your town. So
no, like, Suplex City, Waxahachie, or anything like that.
I don't
Suplex
think Waxahachie City, is going to get a Suplex City shirt.
Suplex City, Wilmington, Delaware.
Let us go to TJ. Not TJ Wilson, I don't think. TJ, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, I
also got Gerard in South Carolina.
It seems like with Brock Lesnar, Kevin Owens, and Finn Balor, they're going in like an old-school movement of wrestlers. You got Finn, you know, who's internationally traveled and perfected his craft. Kevin, who came up in the Indies, busting his butt, putting up that way. And Brock, who is essentially a must-see attraction. And it just seems like old-school mentality with those three. Seeing what you thought about that.
Oh, well, NXT is... Triple H's idea with NXT, I want to thank you very much for the call, is all about getting the guys that have gone all over the world and gotten a lot of experience and are great workers, and they're going to come and they're going to be in WWE's version of Ring of Honor. That's clearly Triple H's idea. And when some of these guys end up getting called up to the main roster, you're going to see more guys like UHA Nation and other indie guys that are going to be coming in to take their place. Brock is just Brock. There's nobody like him. I don't think there's anything... It has nothing to do with old school, new school, nothing. It's just, there's nobody. There's nobody like Brock Lesnar around today. He's turning into a good draw for the company. People love seeing him. They go nuts when he's out there. They're going to buy shows that he's on or buy the network if he's on a show. And so that's basically the story with Brock Lesnar. But yes, they are going in an international direction with NXT. Which actually... Based on Kenneth's call, I mean, I would not be surprised if they started to do specials overseas, because the overseas fan base, like the UK, for example, I mean, very, very rabid. But you know they're not getting a pay-per-view, because the pay-per-view is aired at a very specific time here in this country. It's the traditional Sunday night time slot. But you can now give them, and they're going to be doing 4 network specials usually throughout the year, now you can start giving them specials. Because I know that a lot of people ended up watching Beast in the East. They didn't watch it necessarily live, but they watched it live or on demand. And WWE's been very happy with the numbers. And so I think now there's that incentive to reward the people in Australia, reward the people in the UK, reward these fans who are very loyal fans but never get pay-per-views. Now they can get their pay-per-views or network specials.
Especially if you're in a situation like you were in Japan where J Sports is doing the production. So you can do the whole setup exactly the same. You're there anyway. I don't know if they run shows like this that end up being on TV in Germany or England or anything like that. And in the UK, I don't believe that they do. But, you know, you can partner in with your partner over there and ask him for a little bit of help and air the thing on the WWE Network. And, you know, it would seem to be kind of a win-win for everybody. As far as fans go, until the whole thing loses luster, it's still something new and it's something exciting. And there were, you know, that's the most I've ever seen wrestling fans be jacked up for that weren't hardcore Japanese fans. I mean, you know, when else have people been up at 5:30 in the morning Eastern time and been all jacked up, you know, on the East Coast to see a wrestling show before? You know, never. So this obviously, you know, there's the first time for a lot of people doing this and checking this out. So they might as well jump on that and keep trying to ride it.
And what an added value. I mean, we were talking about this with UFC Fight Pass, the things they were doing that WWE was not, such as, hey, Fight Pass. They're airing exclusive Fight Pass-only events, something WWE Network was never doing. Well, now they are. Took them 2 years to figure it out, but hey, they figured it out, so good for them. East of the Rockies to the rainy season. You're on the air.
It is John from Arkansas.
Yes, John.
I watched the Beast from the East special, and the one thing that I took away that actually made me smile was the deathly silent reaction that Nikki Bella got.
Oh, man. You're right.
That made me smile.
Well, you know.
I'm a horrible person, but I'm sorry.
That match still got four more reaction than it would get here.
I think in terms of things that would make you a terrible person, not caring about Nikki Bella is low on the list.
Well, then would joining you in your disdain for Tough Enough also make me an awful person, because there are only two likable people I see there, Yeezy and the one particular young
Sarah lady. Lee. You know what's funny is Paige called out Sarah Lee, which, by the way, now I don't want Paige to win the women's title after that. Paige calls out Sarah Lee and she says, I don't even notice you, and the only reason I know your name is because you're named after cheesecake. And I'd have never mentioned this before, but I knew Sarah Lee's name immediately and I never forgot it, because when I was a kid, my favorite restaurant was Skipper's. And I would go and I would get fish and chips, and they had the best clam chowder. And they had all you can eat. So you get all you can eat, fish, chips, and clam chowder. And then after you had all you can eat, or as my dad used to call it, eat all you can, after your eat all you can lunch, they had Sarah Lee chocolate cakes, which were so good. You just know they were just chock full of trans fat. They were so good. But I loved those Sarah Lee cakes. And so thus, I will never forget the name Sarah Lee. And she's hot, and she's cute, and she should win.
So basically, never mind. I'm not even going to say it. Go ahead.
I want to have my cake and eat it too. Yes, John.
I just had to say that I think this trend of the network specials is a good idea, and I think it's a great way to actually reward those international fans who are so patient with you. My only problem was, you know, the whole thing that most of us had with John Cena being in the main event and that trumping the NXT title.
Yes. Well, John, we got to head to a break, but I want to thank you so much for the call and the reminder of the cake. Back in a moment, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got about 2 minutes to the top of the hour break. A quick segment, then another break. And so if you've been trying to call, phone lines are shut down till about 10 after the top of the hour. And you can call back and get a hold of us then. A couple of things. Our producer noted that not only is Jupiter the largest planet in the solar system, but the big red spot on Jupiter is 3 times the size of the Earth, which makes it significantly larger than Sumo Hall. Also, I'd like to mention that in the second hour, we're going to be joined by David Bixenspan about 20 minutes after, and talk about the headline story in the new Figure Four Weekly. Everything you did or did not want to know about the Hulk Hogan sex tape lawsuits. That's coming up at about 20 minutes after the top of the second hour. We can talk about that. I want to mention, of course, tonight, After Dark Radio is returning, talking all things, well, we talked the paranormal, technology, current events, all sorts of stuff on After Dark Radio. It's going to be tonight, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern, only on the Dark Matter Radio Network, which you can find free on TuneIn Radio. Just search Dark Matter Radio on the TuneIn Radio app, and you can listen to not only my show Sunday nights at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, but July 20th, Art Bell is back, and Art Bell will be going Monday through Friday, also at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, and you can listen free on the TuneIn Radio app searching Dark Matter Radio. Don't forget to check out my show tonight. It'll be open lines, emails, and news all night long, so get ready for that later on. We're going to be back after the top of the hour with more wrestling news, your phone calls, and more here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for another hour, and we're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes. The list goes on and on. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We're talking news. We're taking calls. The number is 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. Four other numbers as well I'll throw out very quickly. If you are west of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown. Anywhere in the world, 425-398-7353. First time callers, 425-398-7289. If you are in the UK, for example, you've had people asking how to call. I think your best bet is to use Skype and dial internationally to the Parts Unknown line, 425-398-7353. That appears to be how people have gotten through in the past if you're international. So use that number right there. We're talking all of the news. We've been talking the WWE Beast in the East show. Excellent show if you ignore the 30-minute house show main event. We've been talking the Dominion show, which was the New Japan show that took place last night. Mike Sempervivi and Dave Meltzer have recently finished a Sin Limite, talking about that, which Mike has been working on and should be up on the front page anytime. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, that is correct. Eventually, I should be putting it up here shortly.
Just jumped in and scared him right there. So he is working on that as we speak. And yeah, we got more shows coming up tonight as well, After Dark Radio plus the Brian and Vinny show. But when we come back from the break, your calls. I know we got people waiting on the line. And then in about 15 minutes, David Bixenspan on to talk the Hulk Hogan sex tape lawsuit and more. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I was talking about the heat, and we have, in fact, set a record. 91 degrees today. Seattle has tied the all-time record 5 consecutive days at 90 or warmer, which, by the way, should tell you how horrible the weather normally is around here. It's the first time we've ever had 5 90-plus days. It was this year. And all of the history of the universe and the great red spot of Jupiter. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
I've got some women's wrestling news.
No.
Aware of this Friday night, July the 10th.
Yes.
And Serena Deeb is having her retirement match in Farina. In Tokyo, Japan.
Man.
I just wondered, why would you think, she's not that old. You reckon it's injuries or?
It's a lot of injuries. It's a lot of injuries. I don't know all the details, but I know she's.
In Japan, too.
Well, yeah, but just because you're going to Japan doesn't mean you got to get hit in the head. But, yeah, you know, sometimes you just realize, why am I putting my body in danger? There's a million cool things to do in this lifetime. Why make things worse?
That's cool. One other thing, do you think there's any chance, now I've heard Ed say something about it, that they might bring like the four horsewomen out of NXT, Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley, and Becky Lynch? To the WWE.
Yeah, Ed's also the guy that said they might bring up the Tough Enough girls, and that ain't going to happen. Obviously they're doing a storyline where Paige needs backup. Okay, that's what's happening. But the idea that they're going to completely eradicate the NXT women's division and bring four girls up all at the same time, I just don't see it happening. They've never brought up four NXT stars. Even the Shield was only three of them, and that was years ago. I cannot imagine them bringing up four NXT. And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe that's their big idea. We're going to bring them all up at once. We're going to send some other girls down. We're going to rebuild the NXT women's division around Eva Marie, and the rest is history. But I don't see them doing that. I just don't.
You got 2 months to 300 or whatever it is before she breaks this record. You know, they have enough women, and, you know, you leave a Bates.
Now that they got that hashtag, I'm sure they're doing it, which just drives me nuts.
Well, and they are, and it also gives them a way to not mention AJ Lee. Michael Cole's reign is 295, so once she passes, you know, this whole thing can be about her road to 300, not about breaking AJ's record, which keeps AJ's name out of people's mouths.
Well, they did mention AJ on the Japanese show.
But I'm saying that that's going to be a very limited thing, and this whole thing is about 300, not 295. She wants 300, so, you know, again, you only have a couple months to do that. You could build NXT around, you know, Emma and what's her name? Oh, God. Carmella and Alexa Bliss. And you could do that, and you can give Leva Bates more of a personality. Some of the women they have there, you can start really, You know, you could, if you wanted to, you could do that, but you have got to get cracking on it right now. And they don't seem to be doing that. And I don't think it's the best idea in the world anyway to bring them all up like that, especially if she only needs, you know, two to do it. I think that's sufficient and fine.
Here's the thing with Nikki Bella. The problem, there's a lot of problems, but one of them is that she's dating John Cena. And it's the same thing that affected Triple H when he was a big star. Everybody knew he was dating and then married to the boss's daughter. I'm sitting here watching her have the same matches with the same girls over and over and over again. And there's literally no reason that she needs to still be the champion. There's a million things you can do with other girls. You could bring girls up from NXT. And as a fan, when I look at this from a fan perspective, the only reason I'm suffering through the same matches over and over again is because she's John Cena's girlfriend. Now, I know everyone talks about this AJ record and everything like that, but I have two questions for all of you that keep bringing up AJ's record. And maybe AJ's record is the sole reason they're doing this, but I got two questions regarding the AJ record. Question number one, who cares? I mean, who is really... I mean, are there websites everywhere celebrating AJ's Divas Championship title reign record? Does anybody talk about it? Does anybody care? I don't even know if AJ cares.
You're looking at that wrong.
AJ tattooed the day she won the title on her neck. She didn't tattoo the day that she broke the record. I don't know if she cares. I don't think CM Punk cares. Nobody cares except whoever's decided that this record's got to be broken. And before you go on, Mike, I got one other thing. You know who else has a record? CM Punk. He's the longest reigning champion of the modern era. So why isn't Seth Rollins going to be keeping this title for God knows how long so that he can break that record? Why doesn't that record matter? My point is, neither of these records matter. So how about we just move on to a new women's champion and have something different? You wonder why no one cares about the women's division? Because we're reliving the last year. We're just watching the same matches over and over again, and they're not very good.
But you're ignoring spite and prickiness when Brock Lesnar ran afoul of WWE. How fast did they decide, okay, Randy Orton, he's now going to be the youngest ever WWE champion? They, again, whether it's psychological or whether it's intentional, I mean, they seem to do this with all the records. And yes, Nikki Bella being with John Cena, I'm sure, you know, helps her, visibility immensely. But still, if there wasn't a record, she'd be on there anyway. So I know what you're saying.
But what about Punk?
That said, Roman Reigns, watch. You know, again, it's not like they do this all the time, you know, instantly. You know, as soon, you know, this is a little bit quicker than they usually do it, but any chance they have to erase and rewrite their history, they tend to do it. And it's not, again, I know what you're saying, but it's so close now that, yes, I mean, yes, it's got something to do with Cena, but also a twist of the knife to AJ, again, because it's convenient, not because it may have been intentional, but because it's very convenient now, go ahead and do it. Maybe she kept it for a long time because she was John Cena's girlfriend and they have no creativity there whatsoever, even though some things like Naomi winning the title should have been obvious. But now it seems to be about breaking AJ's record and there you go.
I'm just so bored. All this, remember when we had that Give Divas a Chance thing that, by the way, is now sputtered? I wonder why it sputtered. Give them a chance to do what? Have the same matches and lose to Nikki Bella again?
We got Alicia Fox back in the mix.
Same girls, having the same matches, losing to the same champion, same length of time, over and over and over again.
And maybe it'll make it extra sweet when Paige wins the title from her and these new girls come up. But you know what? If that doesn't happen, and I could see that maybe not happening, you know, then what?
I don't know, then what? Because I'm bored as possible right now.
And you're still going to get the same thing. It's just going to be different faces there. I mean, that's just the way women are going to be on that roster, and the Bellas are going to be in the top of the mix. You have a bunch of women that are nameless, faceless, nobody cares. You know, you could be using Natalya right now, you know, depending on what happens with her. Obviously, Tyson's going to be out for a long time, and I'm sure she's still on Total Divas, so Maybe we can see increase in Natalia, which will help the cause. But this is just the way it is. And it's, you know, hey, it's a 3-hour, very frustrating show that if you have Hulu, many times they cut a lot of that stuff out, which makes your life much, much easier.
Let's go to Sam, has been waiting on the air forever. Sam, what's up? Sam.
We killed Sam.
Sam, hello. You're on the air.
Do you hear me?
I hear you.
All right. I had a question about the Beast in the East thing. One of the things I noticed that stood out to me is how during the show they mentioned Lesnar's IWGP reign. They mentioned Neville's run in Dragon Gate. And then, of course, here lately they've been talking about how Finn Balor was in Japan. Do you feel that there might possibly be a future working relationship with WWE and other international or indie promotions now that they're, you know, starting to let out the history of these guys and the journey these guys have gone on to get to the WWE?
Well, Sam, I want to thank you very much for the call. We have to head to a break. Sorry, I muted myself, everybody. But we'll address that when we come back. I've got a couple thoughts on that. We'll also be joined by David Bixenspan, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very quickly, before we talk to Bix here, I just wanted to mention the last caller asking about WWE doing working agreements with companies in Japan or elsewhere. I don't know about working agreements, although you may see one with Evolve, which is down in Florida, as they're going to be needing more indie guys once guys like Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, or Sami Zayn get moved up to the main roster. But they are doing a lot of open tryouts. They're scouring the globe for talented guys. If you know how to work, get yourself in good cosmetic shape. Of course, make sure you can pass the drug test and everything like that. And be ready to do a tryout. Be ready to do a lot of goofy calisthenics and do the best you can. And you may have a shot in NXT. Their eyes are open. And let's go to Bix here. David, how you doing?
I am doing well.
So the new Figure Four Weekly is out right now. And I don't know if you've... perhaps you avoid the board now. I don't blame you. But you have gotten a fair amount of praise for this particular headline article this week. And he had another one a couple of weeks ago that everybody really... He had the music one everybody really liked. But this
and
week...
And last week's about the stockholder stuff.
That's right. That's right. Which we talked about on Observer Radio. So this week, the topic was this Hulk Hogan sex tape. And it's coming up... The Gawker trial is coming up soon here. Is that correct? Bix, are you there? Where did he go? Am I here? Mike, are you here?
I'm here. I believe you're here.
I believe we may have blown Bix completely off the air with that question. You mentioned sex tape.
It's...
All right, I think we've got him here. Bix, are you there?
Yeah, my Wi-Fi dropped.
Okay, are you back now?
Yes.
All right, so where were we? This sex tape. The Gawker lawsuit here is going to trial soon. Is that correct?
Well, soon. It got delayed this week because when the judge scheduled the trial date for, it was supposed to be tomorrow, there was a procedural error and she should have scheduled it further out if she was going to do that. So that's delayed for the time being. In the meantime, there's all the stuff with the FBI and Gawker going on, which is a whole separate lawsuit but tied into all this.
All right, well, we're going to talk about Hogan here. So I don't know if people are aware of this or not, but there's this whole deal with the Hulk Hogan sex tape, Bubba the Love Sponge, his wife, this whole debacle. And a one-minute version of this tape ended up on Gawker, and Hulk Hogan filed suit. And this actually, this is more than a pro wrestling story, because this lawsuit has the potential to take down Gawker. Is that correct, Bix?
Yes. So it's a little... complicated. I mean, I haven't seen some people get this all correct, but the gist is that Hogan is suing for $100 million. Now, that doesn't mean that if a jury, you know, rules in his favor that he would get $100 million, but it could theoretically happen. And Gawker if a jury awarded Hogan something in that range, or maybe even 50 million, not really quite sure about that, but you know, if it's a giant award, it would kill Gawker, even if they would inevitably win an appeal, which it seems experts think they would, because in Florida, if you are appealing a jury financial award, you have to put up the full amount plus 2 years interest. So if a jury gave Hogan that much money, it would kill Gawker, even if Gawker theoretically could win an appeal down the line.
So what, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an attorney here. I haven't talked to anybody about
it. Neither am I.
Well, I know, but hopefully you've talked to some about it, but
yes,
or read about it. I mean, what, $50 million or $100 million? I'm not an attorney, but I do know this. In order to be granted a significant sum of money, I mean, you've got to prove significant damages. And this is $100 million. I mean, I guess a jury would have to determine that Hulk Hogan had been damaged to the extent of $100 million or $50 million or whatever they award. I mean, what are legal experts saying about the possibility that they will have to pay that kind of money to Hulk Hogan for airing a one-minute sex tape on their website?
I mean, it seems like experts think that Gawker will win, and that on the merits that they will win, and if it went to an appeal, they would win. But in terms of what a jury would find, especially in Florida and all that, it's trickier. The way that Nick Denton of Gawker put it when he was addressing all the staff and stuff is that it's a 1 in 10 chance of being the catastrophic thing that could kill the company.
So tell everybody a little bit about the backstory here. I think most people know the gist of it, but for those that don't, you've got a history in the new issue of Figure Four Weekly, which is up right now, WrestlingObserver.com. You can subscribe and not only get all of the radio shows that you're listening to and all of the archives, but you get Figure Four Weekly archives, Wrestling Observer and archives. And this week's edition has Sex, Lies, Videotape, and Hulkamania by Bix covering this, and you've got a history of what went down. Tell everybody basically what happened.
Yes. And by the way, Vinny came up with that headline, so he deserves the credit for that.
Vinny is a creative man.
Yes. So this goes back to, if we're to believe the dates that are on the DVDs that the FBI was in possession of, this goes back to 2007, before Hogan and Linda got divorced, but probably after the marriage was irreparably damaged. And although Hogan has said it was after they separated or filed for divorce, but whatever, we don't know exactly. Hogan had a fully consensual sexual encounter with the
then-wife. Hold on one sec. We do know that the loss or the divorce. The divorce filing was November of 2007, and you have in the article here that the FBI has listed the date of the tape as July of 2007, which was before the divorce.
That's what they're labeled. But so I would lean towards that being the case, but I mean, it's not like we know for an absolute certainty.
Sure.
So he has this consensual sexual encounter with Heather Cole, then Heather Clem, who was then the wife of Todd Bubba the Love Sponge Clem, the radio shock jock, if you will, in Florida that had been good friends with Hogan for, you know, years and years, and did TNA and had his whole mess there. He was cool with it. He's even at the beginning of the video telling them to do their thing and he'll be in his office. And he had security cameras throughout his house. When this first went down, he said that when it first all came out, he said that Hogan knew that there were cameras. One of the articles that came out this week on Vice's website, the person who was analyzing all of this said from watching the video that it even looked like he was aware of the camera, but he's insisted he hasn't. After Bubba settled his part of the lawsuit, he apologized and he said he believed Hogan wasn't aware there was a camera. A disgruntled employee of Bubba's at his radio show when he left Sirius XM for traditional radio had a copy of the DVD or took the DVD, leaked it, and kind of went from there. There was a lawyer who works with a sex tape broker involved. And although it looks like Hogan paid that guy off, because there is a check from Hogan's lawyer for $150,000 to the other lawyer. His name is Keith Davidson, who I guess is best known for his involvement with the Vern Troyer sex tape case. And Hogan did also get the copyright from Bubba when he settled. But yeah, and then this all comes down to Gawker, who they published their highlight reel, as they called it, with an article about it in 2012. It was sent to them completely anonymously. Whoever it was didn't want money, etc. That led to Hogan suing, and almost 3 years later, here we are.
So this is all coming down here. As you noted, it was supposed to come down tomorrow, but in fact, it's been delayed a little bit. But I guess any other notes on this? I mean, you've got a lot of information here, and we've got what's up with the Gawker and FBI? What's the tie in there?
Okay, so about a month and a half ago, Gawker sued the FBI because they had filed a Freedom of Information Act request about the FBI's investigation into the sex tape. And the FBI first rejected on privacy grounds. They got a judge to force Hogan to give permission. Heather Cole gave permission voluntarily. When they filed the request again, then the FBI rejected it under a law enforcement exemption, saying there was an ongoing investigation, even though, as far as anyone could tell, there wasn't one. A judge ordered the FBI to comply a couple weeks ago. They haven't really been forthcoming, even giving like redacted versions of stuff that they filed unredacted in their suit with Gawker. So that's a whole mess. Gawker, in some of the filings, is basically saying that they think Hogan asked a friend in local law enforcement to reinvest, to open an official investigation so that they could claim the exemption to block Gawker from getting the stuff. But it's a big mess. And I mean, regardless of what you think about the Hogan Gawker lawsuit, I feel like it's hard not to, from a legal point of view, to not sympathize with the way Gawker's kind of getting screwed here.
Well, is that, could you say that though? And there's just as easily on the other side where they are hiding behind that this should be public information because it's news. It's like, no, it's really not. It's a guy having sex with his friend's wife.
No, I disagree with them on when it comes to the law, to the Hogan lawsuit, totally. But when it comes to the FBI stuff, I mean, they are in a lawsuit for the life of the company. And I totally understand what, I mean, I sympathize with them in the sense that from a legal point of view, they should be able to get the stuff from the FBI.
All right, well, we got to head to a break. Bix, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. We're probably going to do this weekly, everybody. We'll have Bix come on and take a look at the latest issue of Figure Four Weekly. And we'll be back with final phone calls and more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Besides Figure Four Weekly, if you have not been subscribing, here's a quick look at what you missed this week. Last Monday, Figure Four Daily with Filthy Tom Lawler, UFC fighter. Talk TNA, Swerve, and UFC, as well as an Observer Radio talking Raw, TNA News, and we had a back issue of the Observer from 1998. Tuesday, Figure Four Daily with Hector Guerrero, Brian and Vinny and Craig show talking Raw and Nitro, as well as a breaking news audio talking the Jose Aldo injury and the Raw ratings. Wednesday, Figure Four Daily with Lance Storm, Observer Radio talking we had the Mendez-McGregor fight, WWE lawsuits, a brand new Observer newsletter talking the Aldo injury, and details on the TNA Global Force relationship. Thursday, Brian and Vinny show talking Lucha Underground and NXT. Friday, had a Figure Four Daily talking, Figure Four Weekly actually came out with the Hulk Hogan sex tape lawsuit. Saturday, Observer Radio talking Beast in the East in New Japan with Mike and Dave. And today, a Sin Limite with Mike and Dave. Plus, Vinny and I will be up tonight for Beast from the East. And by the way, in addition to all of those shows that you get only as a subscriber, you also get Wrestling Observer Live downloads within 5 minutes of the end of the show. So I do about 18 shows a week, most of which you can only get as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. Head up there, sign up. You will not regret it. If you like this show, you will love your subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Let's go east of the Rockies. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
Yes, Dave.
Guys, and I talked about this morning's Dominion show for New Japan. That was amazing.
We've been waiting for somebody to call
about
it.
Tell me about it. Good God.
Mike's going nuts over here.
Yeah, no. Entirely great show from top to bottom. A few lighter notes here and there. Even enjoy the Tanahashi and Yano stuff. As well as Nakamura coming out as a glittering ninja was amazing.
Mike,
Liberace is a ninja, yes.
Yes, hold on 1 second. Mike, what did Dave think about the Tanahashi-Yano match?
See, he's been broken down a little bit by me because if you've watched Yano for a long time like I have, I mean, he's always had his best matches with Tanahashi. I know it's an easy thing to say that everybody has their best match with Tanahashi, but Yano and Tanahashi together are actually great, and it went 12 and a half minutes. You had all of the spots that you thought you were going to get. It was a night off for Tanahashi. He still worked hard, and the match was still, you know, it was good. It was a good match, but you had your spots where they both raced to the turnbuckles, and they both tried to untie him and, you know, to see who would win in that. And there were all your goofy Yano spots, but it was still against Hiroshi Tanahashi, and it was a very, very good match and served as a, you know, a nice buffer and a stair step to the last three matches on the show.
So he liked it?
He tolerated it, and he was okay with it because the whole show was good. So really the most disappointing match that he thought was on there, and I think that a lot of people probably thought was on there, was the Bullet Club and the Kingdom. That went about 10 minutes. The Bullet Club won the tag titles away from Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. Maria was there. Amber O'Neill was there as well, too. And there was all that sort of stuff. But Carl Anderson didn't get sucked in by Maria. And in fact, you would be very, very happy with Mike Bennett, Brian, because you saw the most fire and the most believability out of Mike Bennett than you ever saw in your whole life when Doc Gallows super kicked Maria off the ring apron. Bennett went over there, and because it's Japan, you can do this too, and started laying in forearms and actually showed so much fire and so much believability that it was actually quite awesome. So it did kind of end pretty good, but unfortunately, that was probably the weakest thing on the show.
I just know that Filthy Tom said he knew that Dave would hate it, but he loved Tanahashi versus Yano.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and up and down. I mean, the match, the whole show made you feel so good. Like, by the time you got to that point, you knew exactly what it was. If the show had stunk up to that point, it would have been another log on that fire. But realistically, with Makabe and Ishii and Kushida and Kenny Omega had the best, his best performance as a member of New Japan. He lost the IWGP Junior Championship to Kushida, who now looks like he's going to have a long and awesome reign. You would love Shibata and Sakuraba, just a fantastic match. Believe it or not, with those two guys, it went about 12 minutes, so that was awesome. The heel turn of Naito had more ammunition added to it with his match with Hanma against the Bullet Club. So the whole show ended up being really very good, and Goto and Nakamura for the Intercontinental title in the semi-main event could have been a main event of this show. So when you say that, you know that Okada and Styles must have been pretty good, and it may have been the match of the year, depending on how you want to look at it. It was 26 minutes. It never dragged. There was not one wasted move. It was absolutely fantastic and told a great story. And like I said, there was nothing superfluous about it whatsoever. Even the Bullet Club's interference early played to something later on, and the end of that match was just fantastic and just another one of the match of the year candidates that New Japan has.
Go ahead, Dave.
I completely agree with that. Also, G1 blocks and matches were announced, so really pumped for that as well.
That's right. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for the call, Dave, and getting Mike going here on a rant. But New Japan Dominion on New Japan World, if you want to head up there and check it out. I'm sure it's going to be available. Is it up right now? Is it up at this moment, Mike?
Oh, yes, it's instant once it's over. So, wow. Yes, it is up there right now.
Very impressive. Paul, you're on the air, buddy. What's up? Hello, Paul.
Paul just ran off the line to go get New Japan World to see what I was talking about.
Paul, are you there? Paul, I hear your line active. Are you there or are you asleep? Mike, bye-bye. You put him asleep. Sean, are you on the air? Sean.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
There we go. What's happening?
Man, I love the Beast in the East, except for one thing.
Nikki Bella.
What? No, that's been a joke for the last 6 months. But what was the one thing that they promoted the most for the pay-per-view?
The one thing they promoted the most for the pay-per-view? John Cena and Kevin Owens for the U.S. title?
No, I'm talking about it, Beast in the East.
Oh, what was the one thing they promoted the most was Brock's appearance.
No, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. Why did they not make that the main event? I mean, for a guy that wrestled for New Japan, I always was taught that the big talk for a big title, that should always be the main event.
Well, first off, two things. Number one, the most promoted thing actually was Brock, because I don't think they made virtually any mention whatsoever on Raw of Finn Balor and Kevin Owens. But yes, on NXT, the Finn Balor-Kevin Owens match was the most promoted thing. Now, whether you go by what was promoted the most on NXT or whether you go by what was promoted the most on Raw, why did this tag team match headline the show? That was my big issue. Like,
I mean,
if they would have ended with Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston, I think it also would have been kind of stupid to not end with the NXT championship match, but at least you would have ended with a match that you promoted heavily, heavily on Raw. That John Cena tag match headlining with nothing on the line and nothing happening, I don't get it.
Maybe it was concerned something would go wrong, and it was, you know, MSG style, where you have the main event in the middle, and you make sure that you're not going to have any problems with time or something like that. Or it could just be as simple as, this is what they do on house shows, and they had their 25-minute typical house show match, and it could just be as simple as that, and they did, you know, to everything else be damned.
You know, one thing that I was taught, you know, 8 years ago by Leon White, that
Vader
type of a match shouldn't have main evented.
Hey, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. I agree 100%. I would have headlined with that match, but unfortunately, you and I and Leon White are not booking this product. It's Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon's top guy is John Cena. And they're going to Japan, and that's what's going to main event, whether we like it or not. To the Parts Unknown line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Cargo from Parts Unknown.
Cargo.
Josh from Kansas City, actually.
What's up?
First off, Mike, you went Twitter blank when the New Japan show was on. What's up with that?
As I admit on this this episode of Sin Limite, which is up on the website right now for subscribers, I fell asleep in my office chair, upright.
That's right.
What match killed you?
I'm not even sure. I think it was I had seen the junior title match. Man, I can't even remember what it was now. I remember like kind of being like half out of it or into it, where I thought it was intermission. And I kind of remember them announcing the G1, but I don't remember anything about the tag match. So I had to go back and watch everything today. So I tried my best. I did my best. Dave was all jacked up after the show, but by the time I had woken back up, he had gone to sleep. So, dude, it was
a 5.5 hour show. He was jacked up at 5:30 a.m. Pacific in the morning.
Come on, you know Dave now.
I know Dave, but holy smokes.
Dave gets fired the F up. If a show is good and it is coming, I mean, and he's going to be up for it and he's looking forward to it a little bit, he was way fired up. I mean, you know how Dave is. He was tired, but man, he was jacked up. So
how about that?
I'm sorry, Mike. You were super kicked to death.
That's right. Yes, I was just laid out by the Young Bucks.
Dude,
and, you know, I also
he may
blame...
have been because he woke up with a bad back.
I also blame. I decided to pregame for the show, and Jim and Ed, if you're listening, I decided to pregame for the show by catching up on some Joshi, and I actually saw a pretty good match. It was Io Shirai and Starfire, but then I saw cheerleader Melissa wrestle Chelsea, which, for anybody out there who has never experienced Chelsea, think of Lacey Von Erich, kind of, sort of, as far as her personality goes, but with more talent, as she is apparently Jim Brunzel's daughter, but she's also like greener than Kermit as far as her skill in the ring. And most of the footage around her that takes place in Stardom, much like Maria Kanellis, is based around her ass. But unlike Maria Kanellis, they're using people like Mako Satomura and cheerleader Melissa to try to help her along. But it is very interesting to see this woman come out to Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle. It's actually somewhat bizarre.
All right, we got time for one more phone call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Danny Hernandez.
Yes.
From Dallas.
Yes, Danny.
My question is, with the the NXT takeover in Brooklyn, the Saturday, saying that as the ROH, that has to be a coincidence, right? Even though the Barclays had an opening on Friday night, they're not trying to, stick it into Ring of Honor, right? Just coincidence?
Of course that's not a coincidence, Daniel. Let's not be crazy.
if the old Tommy is going to turn heel when he returns, because when he was clapping for Finn Balor, he was doing that sarcastic, could be the first guy who ever turns heel from returning from a beatdown, like a sneak attack.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Here's the thing with the Tommy. I don't know this for sure, but based on the fact that they did a Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens match, and I know the storyline was that he didn't win the first time because he wasn't wearing his paint, but when they announced that they were doing a three-way and the winner was going to get Kevin Owens, I thought from day one that Hideo Itami was going to win. And they could have done Hideo Itami versus Kevin Owens in Japan, and Hideo Itami would be the champion right now. I don't know if that was the original plan, but everything that they've done in their booking leads me to suggest that. So, I don't know if he's turning heel, but he's definitely going to get a title shot when he comes back. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, as well as TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, etc. And if you're looking for something to listen to after the show ends, well, Scene Limite with Mike and Dave Meltzer is up on the front page right now. And don't forget, midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, I will be up for 2 hours. After Dark Radio, phone calls, emails, news, and more here on the 91st anniversary of the Ape Canyon incident on Mount St. Helens. Some of you may know about that. If not, listen to the show tonight for more. But that is coming up. After Dark Radio, midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, Dark Matter Radio Network, which is free on the TuneIn Radio app. Just grab TuneIn Radio. And while you're at it, grab the Sports Byline channel, which is free, and the Dark Matter Radio Network channel, which is free. And you can listen to me tonight, midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific. Also, we'll do a Brian and Vinny show later on with a lot to talk about, including the WWE show in Japan and the TNA show from this past Thursday with a new TNA World Heavyweight Championship. That's coming up tonight as well. And that is it from here, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening, all of the callers, listeners, everybody at Sports Byline USA. We'll talk to you again tomorrow with more Wrestling Observer Live, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcasting Network.